and welcome to the first episode of Takeout with Ashley Coff RD and Robin O'Brien. I'm Matt, and we're looking forward to bringing you a series of podcasts on better nutrition simplified in the new food economy that cuts to the chase and asks the tough questions. We'll also have guests on the show, ranging from celebrity chefs to experts in the marketing world, as well as professional sportsmen and Hollywood actors. I'd like to thank our sponsors for today's show, Manitoba Harvest and Nature's Path. So, without further ado, I will hand you over to Ashley and Robin, who will fill you in on what this podcast series has to offer. Take it away, ladies.
Hi, this is Robin. Thanks so much for joining us today. We're super excited to kick off this podcast series. Ashley and I had the opportunity to meet a couple of years back, actually in front of the White House. And it was one of those instant friendships on pretty much every level, intellectually, and how we felt about what was happening with the health of our families and the people that we love, and how so much love and guidance and compassion is needed as we kind of move through this. And, you know, as we put our heads together, we thought, what can we do? How can we connect with people on a regular basis? You know, we'd obviously written books and done different things with the media, and we felt that a podcast series would be a really fun way to reach you guys and to have a really steady, regular conversation, because the landscape of food and the landscape of health is changing so fast. So we're really excited to kick this off with you guys, and we bring sort of this 1-2 punch. With my background in finance and the work that I've done for the last 10 years, specifically focusing on children's health and analyzing the data and the trends and what's been happening to the health of our families, we can leverage the expertise of both of us. And, you know, for me, I come out of this place where I covered the food industry as an analyst. We had a team of about 7 guys, and we covered, you know, we managed about $20 billion in assets. And so as I covered that food industry, you know, I was able to learn these business models, why decisions were made, how their businesses were influenced, impact that consumers and capital structures and financing and all this stuff had on our food system. And to bring that expertise, you know, to the current conversation, to be able to interview food entrepreneurs and to be able to interview private equity groups and to be able to interview capital groups and bring people in that are truly funding and making these changes in our food system today. To hear what they're seeing, they want to hear from you guys. It's a really important conversation to be having right now. It's really important that we do get money flow into this clean food movement. And then we can also marry that with different experts and different scientists and different doctors. And the reason being is that, you know, most of us know there really isn't a family in the country that isn't impacted today by either cancer or diabetes or food allergies or autism or ADHD or one of these conditions. The landscape of health has just changed so much. And with that, you know, all of a sudden we see this data where it's 1 in 2 men and 1 in 3 women are expected to get cancer in their lifetime. Or the CDC is telling us that, you know, cancer is the leading cause of death by disease in kids under the age of 15. And that is just freaking scary. And I think parents are saying, how do we stop this? You know, what can we do? Is there something that we can do? And that's where this combination of Ashley and I is really powerful, because I can talk about the data and I can talk about the analytics, and we can sort of look at the business structure. And then Ashley's able to come in with her expertise and her practice to really speak to what it is that we can do, how we can simplify this, how we can take these precautionary measures every single day. And it's, you know, it's not just cancer, and that's probably the scariest, but it's things like diabetes and the runaway rates of diabetes in the health of our families, and the fact that 1 in 3 kids now has autism, allergies, ADHD, or asthma. I mean, these numbers and this data can be overwhelming, and it doesn't have to be, because nobody can do everything. But everybody can do something. And so I think, you know, if you step back and you say, okay, here's some simple solutions. Here's one thing you can do. Or here's an expert who's going to provide 5 things, you know, 5 suggestions or ways that you can get engaged. Then all of a sudden you feel empowered to tackle what may seem like an impossible situation. And that's really what we're here for, because change doesn't happen overnight. And it does take all of us standing together, figuring out ways that we can build a better food system, ways that we can, you know, build stronger communities, ways that we can definitely have more fun, because as these conditions hit our families, it takes away sort of what we thought motherhood or, you know, adulthood or having a child might look like. It suddenly looks really different if you've got a child with a peanut allergy or you're managing type 1 diabetes. And for us, that emphasis of fun is so important. And so, you know, with that, we can talk through a lot of the data, and then, you know, Ashley is also here to be able to share, you know, what her insight is and the expertise that she has and what we can do together to really help address these issues.
Yeah, this is going to be really fun. I mean, I remember I totally was thinking about that the other day, because now I actually live in D.C., you know, and so I met you like standing in front of the White House, and I remember while you were talking and we were wearing those awkward like non-GMO green T-shirts that had a third arm, and I was listening to you and I was like, you know, I've been pretty depressed and frustrated with the food and nutrition space, and here's somebody talking about it who has lived through it as a mom, who has come from it, you know, as a food analyst, and who can speak with such love, but like also can laugh and giggle and be real. And, you know, I think that that's always been something super inspirational for me, and definitely something that I always said, like, okay, I got to bring, Robin and I have to do this in a way. I mean, I think every time you and I end up either working together, whether we're doing a show together or a panel or an interview, and increasingly I think as we've gotten to know each other, we're bringing each other into more of these things, so we're doing a lot together, I always think we have these amazing nuggets, like in the quote-unquote off-camera time period. And, you know, for me, the podcast opportunity is certainly the opportunity to share those things that don't make it into my, you know, three-minute segment on, you know, here are some quick nutrition picks, or, you know, better choices, or that don't make it into the, you know, the book or the article or that piece. But I also think it's when our two brains get together. You're extremely solution-oriented. We both come from the world of big. I started my career off working in advertising. My clients were Kellogg's, Clairol, and De Beers. And, you know, I think ever since we had that discussion, we were both like, not only is this, you know, can big not be the enemy? I've learned so much personally from you just about the business and the financial side. You know, I know, and I always quote you when you say, you know, let's not let perfect be the enemy of the good. I know that from a nutrition standpoint. You know, I call my nutrition plan Better Nutrition Simplified, in a very clear way to emphasize that there's nothing about this that can be perfect. And in fact, in the pursuit of the perfect, we're making ourselves less well, because we're stressing ourselves out, and we're actually, that stress is manifesting in digestive irritation and poor absorption and, you know, things like that. But at that same time, you know, we're also turning around and saying we need the big, we need the money coming in, as you were just talking about. You know, on my side of it, I see, you know, it is not okay to just turn around and say traditional medicine or allopathic medicine as we know it today is all wrong. We have to go, you know, only over to quote unquote the alternative side. You know, if I am working with a cancer patient, or if I'm working with someone who needs surgery, I want them to have the best of today's medicine. That's amazing. And I think that is going to, what I want to do is help them understand what's happening to their body during that experience, and then employ what we know from, you know, thousands of years from a healing standpoint to help them be their best, both before, during, and after that. So I think this collaboration is, you know, intended to be that moment. I also know we both like to have fun, and neither one of us, I think, really has time for and or approaches it from sort of a victim state. So, you know, for me, the challenge is always, how can I help someone who feels very much like a victim? And I get that. I get that we feel, you know, that either the marketing of things has made it really complicated for us to know what the truth is, or, you know, what is being done to food in the food processing space is, you know, really making it so hard for us to just get something that's a decent quality. Like, I appreciate feeling like a victim. You know, I feel like I have clients who have said to me before, I can't afford to eat healthy. And I'm like, oh, okay, we have to go, you know, we have to have that conversation. You know, or I think I know how, and then I hear something on the news and it's different. So it's this nutrition whiplash of always hearing that something is different. But I think the reality is that while we can feel like a victim, what our job is to do is to give people the tools so that they can be empowered and that they can also be agents for change. And, you know, I think both of us, you know, are certainly here to do that piece. And I think the other part is, together, and what I'm so excited about with this podcast is we really cover, you know, from a connection standpoint, we cover and have access to the people, not just in this country, but the people in the world that are making change happen. And I think when you hear about how change is happening and why change is happening, you know, whether it's our mutual friend Greg who, you know, started a beauty counter and the business in terms of saying, I just want to know that I can have good quality beauty products that are affordable, and I want my girlfriends to tell other girlfriends about it and, you know, sell it that way. Or whether it's, you know, allergen-friendly food that is full of nutrients. You know, I see a lot of stuff that's out there that, and talking to companies, you know, and heads of companies who have said, hey, it's not just enough for us to create a gluten-free or a dairy-free product. We want to make sure that it's still going to be full of nutrients. So I'm really excited to bring all of that here. And then, you know, to hone in, and I think both of us are really students in this field or in this you know, in trying to create change, and that is that we will ask questions, and in this podcast intend to ask questions, the same questions of every one of our guests, so that we can hear how is it that they are creating success, why are they creating success, and what do they think we need to do? You know, and I think our goal from that is that that can have exponential reverberations where we can really start to see people say, hey, we're all hearing what we need to do, so how can we actually get it done? And I think our 1-2 punch is really always reminding people it's not just knowing what needs to be done, but it's figuring out how you can help get that stuff done. So super excited about that. And, you know, I love, Robin, when you always say, you know, that like sort of you're in that space and you'll say, you know, not just not letting perfect be the enemy of the good, but you'll talk about like these, I mean, you've got 4 kids under, gosh, is your oldest now in high school?
Yeah, I know. And I think that, again, it's like, you know, we come to this as real people who are saying, okay, you can't make the perfect the enemy of the good, that the demands on everybody's time today, they're just enormous. And yeah, as a mother of 4, where I have 2 kids now in high school, middle schooler, and 1 that's still in elementary school, you know, when you're really trying to address food issues around children today, you know, something I'm super mindful of is you don't want to project an eating disorder onto these kids either. So how do we teach our families about better nutrition simplified? How do we teach them about, you know, ways that they can take care of their bodies, whether they're traveling, whether they're at school, whether they're at a cross-country meet, you know, whatever you're doing, whether you're dealing with a marathon day at work or you're traveling for a conference, you know, people need real solutions that are really accessible, because none of us live in that perfect world. So that's what I'm just so excited about with this, because it's, you know, it's on the ground, real solutions, and it's real solutions whether you've got a great idea and you're going to be starting up, you know, if you've got some little food company that you've got this great concept around, or you're writing a cookbook. We need all hands on deck. And so, you know, you and I just think, like, we're thrilled when people get excited about it, and we're thrilled when we can highlight these great solutions and these great ideas and these really passionate entrepreneurs that have been really smart about moving into new spaces. And I think, you know, right now, everybody is listening. I can't say who, I can't name names right now, but I can promise you, everybody is listening. Big, huge food companies that may have dismissed this as sort of an alternative or some kind of fringy thing, even as much as 2 years ago, are now saying, you know, we're at the table. We recognize that, unfortunately, these conditions are not trends. And autism and cancer and diabetes and food allergies, those are not fads. So how do we address this as a country? How do we address this as a society? How do we find solutions at home, at school, in our communities, in our churches, you know, wherever we're working? And there's so many different places that we can touch on this. And so, again, you know, for the two of us to put our heads together and say, we're going to bring it to you, and we're going to bring it to you, and it's going to be fast, it's going to be smart, it's going to be fun, and it's going to be inspiring. And I think that, to me, is just, it's such an exciting time, because you can either say, oh my gosh, here we are, this is so bad, I'm going to spend all this time looking back and pointing fingers, and I just think that that's not the best way for us to spend our time or energy at this point. What is in front of us is wide open. That landscape is wide open, and we get to be part of that change. We get to define it. We get to architect it, and that is really exciting. And I kind of look at it, you know, as this is the work of a generation. And so, you know, 40, 50 years from now, as we look back on this period, what will we be able to say that we did? And that, to me, is just an incredibly exciting opportunity.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, one of the other parts, and you and I will joke about, like, you'll say, okay, and it's not a joke, it's you're too, you know, like, I'm from a Texas, you know, very, like, right-wing family, et cetera. I grew up in the Midwest, so I'm a little bit more of, you know, I've always said to people, like, you know, we were like moderate liberal, but, you know, at the same time, you know, I had sort of both of those pieces in my family, but also, you know, it wasn't really until after college and really after even Manhattan that when I moved to LA that I was like, whoa, there's this whole world of LA and San Francisco and, you know, what's going on out there. And, you know, I think both of us really look at this. And I think one of the things that will be really interesting about this podcast is we are going to bring you people from both sides, not just of the political spectrum. I mean, I'm here in D.C., and sometimes I've had people say to me, I can't believe that person is your client. And I'm like, look, let's be really clear. You know, cancer doesn't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. Digestive issues, I kind of think all of Congress has them. You know, it's like this is definitely a bipartisan or an all-partisan, you know, an all-party issue. But I think more than that, we're also one of the things that you and I uniquely strive to do is to set the bar pretty high for what is communicated as fact and how it's communicated as fact, and then also asking the tough questions about certain statements when they're presented as sort of the all or nothings, right? So I'm never going to tell somebody that they ever in their entire life have to drink an organic greens juice to be healthy, or I promise you, you do not have to add, you know, grass-fed butter and MCT oil to your coffee. If you like your coffee black or if you like it with skim milk, like, I'm fine with that. You know, I think we have to avoid going in these places of the all or nothing. But at the same time, I think one of the things that's really clear and that you and I, you know, certainly we've talked about who's going to be on this show, but also how, you know, they know this coming on, is that we're going to hold them to statements. And, you know, I hear the argument all the time, like around something, for example, with climate change, like different people agree to different facts. And that's not the case. You and I are both, and you in particular, extremely grounded in the numbers. And I think, and in, you know, in the information, and I think that is, you know, sometimes I say I'm not as grounded in the science because I know with nutrition, science is one really important part of it. And then there's this other part that I call the H factor, and that's the human factor. And I just promise you what's happening in any scientific research study cannot deliver on the H factor. So what I have to do is I have to look at there's evidence-based medicine and then there's practice-based evidence. I know certain things and I want my readers to hear certain things, and I also want to call out certain experts for making statements like the ones I hear on TV. You know, I can tell within 30 seconds of an expert, quote unquote, being on television whether or not they work with patients, because if they make it sound so easy or one size fits all, that I know that they probably aren't working with patients, or they're only working with people who, and they're putting them on a certain, you know, on one specific protocol. So I think facts are going to play a really important part of this, and also maybe we could call this podcast like sort of navigating in the gray, you know, and figuring out, you know, where we are. But also I love, and I don't know if you, I can't even recall, Robin, like where you made this, where I heard this for the first time, but I remember you describing even just on the issue of GMOs around, you know, saying that it could be like a fax machine, you know, where we might decide, or I think it was even those original carbon prints, you know, where you were saying like in the beginning there were certain ways, and today we just know that there are ways that we can do this much better. You probably can present that analogy in the way that it was intended, but I remember thinking about that, and it actually stuck with me because I've been so against, you know, certain GMOs and so worried about them. Without thinking about it, really opened my eyes to start learning about, you know, what could be the next iteration of genetic modification or genetic engineering in the food space that actually could be helpful and even healthful, you know. And I'm learning about in the orange trees in Florida, and maybe there's a way for them to genetically engineer it in a healthy way, and let's follow that and let's look at that. So, you know, to me, what I'm really excited about is this is not the place to come where information will be oversimplified or where it will feel black and white or where it will, you know, discount the nuances or the personalization, especially, you know, in nutrition recommendations. But it's the debate is going to be there because I think we both agree that solutions are multifactorial.
Yeah, absolutely. I think part of the reason that you and I felt so strongly about creating this series was the fact that we've got to have a place where the conversation can be tabled. And I think, you know, right now we're in a place where it's a lot of he said, she said science. Like you said, I mean, the facts are critical. Where is the data coming from? Who's funding the research? All those kinds of questions. Again, it's why the capital piece and the finance piece in this conversation around our health and our food system and the way things have been structured is so important. And so, you know, to be able to bring complete transparency to these issues. That is really the stage that we're in, because we're waking up to the fact that not only, you know, has our food system changed, you know, a lot of systems have changed, really. And like you mentioned, I mean, cancer doesn't care if we're Republican or Democrat. Diabetes, autism, none of these conditions care. They don't care what side of the aisle we're on. This is something that's impacting the health of our families, the health of our economy, and the health of our country. And the exciting thing about it is that there are so many spaces to engage and create these solutions. And so to have the opportunity to really bring transparency to the dialogue, and to me, you know, the most interesting conversation I've had are usually with the people that I haven't agreed with. And you really can sit down and you can hear where they're coming from, and you can have a very open exchange in order to kind of get some stuff on the table to learn, you know, ways that we may or may not have thought about that. And I think, you know, what is so fascinating right now in the food space is that technology is being employed across the spectrum. It's being employed by the organic industry. It's obviously being employed by the chemical companies and the biotech industry. And, you know, when we bring transparency to that, where is it being used responsibly? Where could companies do a better job bringing that transparency? And then in light of that full transparency, how does that change our perception? And I think to be able to have those conversations right now is so critical. So, you know, you look at that and it creates just this awesome opportunity to engage a lot of different voices. And I love that between the two of us, we really have a pretty broad reach. And so, you know, we can bring on some of the typical suspects that you would expect to hear on a show about food and health and wellness and all that stuff, you know, the CEOs of all these amazing companies, from big ones like Stonyfield and Annie's and Nature's Path to some of these smaller startups and things like Thrive Market and, you know, these innovators and these entrepreneurs that are doing these amazing things. But food touches us in so many ways. It touches so many aspects of our lives, and it's social and it's economic. It can be political. And I think, you know, as we look to next year with the presidential election, there's so much that needs to be addressed in this space. So, you know, we're going to have plenty to talk about, which is super exciting to me, and I just know we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think, you know, somewhere along the way, too, I mean, as much as we want to really debate and have these conversations about these big ideas, I think you and I, probably by virtue, certainly you with like the entire household that you're running, and I am in the opposite space. Of course, I have Rerun, but I also have a business that I'm running, and then, you know, in terms of travel and those sorts of things, we've gotten pretty strategic about how to create health and, you know, where the compromises are. And, you know, I'm very, you know, I'm not always good with, you know, implementing the things I know I need to do, but, you know, I do find the ways to make them easier so that I can get better with implementing them, and likewise from you. And so I think, you know, a big part of this also, one of the things that I think we always spark to is being able to share tips between us or to remind ourselves that it's okay to be human. And, you know, one of the pieces that I'm really looking forward to is not just sharing our, like, I'll call them hacks, if you will, you know, how do I, you know, travel or, you know, ride feeling is hopefully as good. And, you know, really, I want to come home feeling as good as when I left on my trip, and I'm sure you do when you come into, you know, seeing everyone in that space. But I think the other part is, how can we get these nuggets from the people that we're listening to? Because, you know, these people are not just high performers in what they are able to do in their particular space, but they, for the most part, the people that we're talking to, I would almost say across the board, you know, have, whether they're, you know, everybody has moments where you don't feel like you're a success, but they have identified ways to help them feel successful more often. And I think that that's going to be really important to, you know, for us, because that's a key part of it. You know, you can only be as good at your job as you are from your personal self and your personal health. So, you know, I think a big piece of this will be being able to share that, and also troubleshooting some of those. You know, it's figuring out, like I just saw you and I was like, oh, you know, I've got this pain going on. And you're like, this is what I do for my back. And I'm like, here's what I do for my hip. And, you know, we have these conversations. So, you know, I think it'll be fun to turn the tables also, too, on the people that are coming on to hear what they do to keep themselves feeling better or restoring themselves for sure.
Yeah, because, I mean, ultimately for anybody, you know, you want to be the best version of yourself that you can be. And life gets in the way of that in a pretty big way. And, you know, especially for parents, when you're juggling work and parenthood and managing the kids and, you know, flying in at midnight and you're waking up at 6:30 to cook breakfast, it's what are smart strategies and tactics that you can use, you know, to just keep yourself in the game, because nobody wants to be sidelined, nobody wants to be kicked out sick. You know, there's plenty on everybody's plate to do no matter where you are. So, you know, there really are some pretty amazing resources we have. You, obviously, with your practice, some amazing expertise. And then, you know, you've got these entrepreneurs that are digging into these issues and creating and crafting these solutions. And that, again, is just such an exciting time. And I think when you speak to people like that, it really just kind of unbridles this creativity, which is absolutely what we need. And again, you know, as parents, I think, too, it's how do we navigate this as parents? Like, everything has changed. That's the only thing we're really certain of at this point is change. So how do you embrace that? How can you help manage it? You know, are there kind of bumper rails you can put up around that as mom or dad? You know, navigating from, you know, when your kid is 100% in control, like you're in control of that and you're dictating it from when they're a baby and when they're a toddler to all of a sudden having teenagers, and that shift. And how do you have the grace and flexibility to navigate that and keep them healthy so that as they go off, you know, into their careers or into college or whatever they do next, you know, that they're equipped and they're well armed, because, you know, I look at these kids, I'm like, that's the future of our country. Right there, 100%, that's the future of our country. And they've been given the title of Generation RX right now, so we have got a ton of work to do, but that also means that there is just a ton of opportunity.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what'll be interesting on this part is in that, you know, the work that's required is figuring out really what that work is, right? So, you know, I'm as equally challenged, frustrated, and concerned about the, you know, whether it's the companies or the marketers. Like, we both go to Natural Products Expo every year, and, you know, there's at least 10,000 new products every year, and every product seems to have a publicist associated with it these days. You know, so it's gotten to the point where even our commodities, our almonds and our apples and these sorts of things, to compete, literally to compete, an apple has to have a publicist, you know. And, you know, I think we've got to look at how are we making this seem, you know, this idea of the perfect, or there's even the term orthorexia today, where people who are so obsessed about perfecting their food are actually making themselves sick in that way. And, you know, and I see that, and I know that that is such an issue, and it's an area that we have to have such caution with as we try to heal this next generation. You know, the hope with, you know, if this is Generation RX, we have to turn around and say, you know, we're telling you that your food can be your medicine. We're telling you that your food and your environment, so your personal health and environmental health are inextricably linked. You cannot make a decision about one versus the other. Or your personal health is inextricably linked to your community health. So how can you make decisions in that space? But as we tell them that, I can almost liken it to maybe how I feel about the women's movement being, you know, sort of third generation in that space, where, you know, there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. You know, I mean, I grew up my whole life being told that I, you know, by my grandmother, you can do everything I couldn't do, right? And my mom, you know, worked some but then is a stay-at-home mom and is now an artist. And she's like, you know, I had some opportunities, but I also made certain choices, you know, to help you guys, and they were the right choices for our family. But there was an element of choice there. For me and my generation, there almost isn't a choice. I just keep being told, like, you can do everything, right? So how do we not, if I compare that to, you know, healing this, the kids, how to hit kids and families today, and teaching them how to get healthier, how do we do it in a way where it doesn't feel this pressure to be perfect? And at the same time, how do we do it where we continue to call out those that are doing what I call oversimplifying, which is, you know, the ones like, you know, I saw a ginger ale commercial talking about the anti-inflammatory components of ginger ale, and I happened to look at that product, and there is actually no ginger in it. So, you know, it's like, in fact, there was high fructose corn syrup. So I'm like, hold on a second. That's such an oversimplification. It's wrong. It's incorrect. Or I remember doing a reality show and having, you know, a woman who had been really successful, made a ton of changes with her family. You know, we'd been pulling out the high fructose corn syrup. She was buying better stuff, and she took me down the cereal aisle and showed me the cereal that she was now eating based on what the cover of the box said. And I just, it was like they caught me on camera. My whole face just sunk, and I wanted to be like, oh, I'm so proud of you. You're losing weight. You're doing this. You're investing time. You're changing, you know, how your family spends money, like win, win, win. and I look at the cereal, and I just said to her, let's do it together. And we looked at the ingredient label, and the second ingredient label was high fructose corn syrup. And there was no, you know, there were supposed to be strawberries in there. There were none of the strawberries in there. And she just took the box, and I was like, you know, do it. Threw it literally across, and she was so frustrated, tears coming down her eyes. And I get choked up, tears coming down my eyes. And I was on camera, and I'm like, I don't care. This is that moment where we do turn around and say, this is not fair. You know, there are things that we have to call those people on from a marketing standpoint and from a product development standpoint. So I think the sweet spot, you know, certainly for me, the sweet spot professionally has been finding this better nutrition simplified. I've got to hold, it's always got to be better nutrition, but I've got to make sure that it's simple enough for people to do. And I think from our podcast standpoint, when we come together, it's really about this concept of figuring out what we need to do and then wrapping it in a package of doable, actionable efforts and calls to action that feel reasonable and quite honestly feel totally in line and adjustable to what somebody's personal beliefs are, what their preferences are, what their family's, you know, choices are, these sorts of things. And, you know, it's a lot for us to take on, but I've been pretty happy that we had both chosen to take it on in our careers, and I think coming together, we're going to help make it simpler and easier for others.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think, you know, the goal is to focus on progress, not perfection, to inspire people, to empower them, and to really acknowledge the fact that maybe 30, 40 years ago, we all kind of believed that diet was one size fits all, that there was this plate, you know, that was the perfect plate that we should all be trying to achieve. And I think, you know, now in light of the statistics, whether we're talking about diabetes or food allergies or autism or ADHD or asthma or any of these things, or people trying to manage their weight, diet is no longer one size fits all. And so when you give permission for that flexibility, it changes everything. So I'm super excited to do it with you, Ashley. I know you are too, and I really, really look forward to what we've got in store.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, we're both pretty avid social media users, so you can find, you know, all my stuff is at Ashley Koff or Ashley Koff Approved, and we want to hear from you. If you have a great idea, I mean, this is how we crowdsource our resources and all the time, so, you know, we definitely want to hear on that part. And Robin, where can they find you on social media?
On social media, my website is robinobrien.com, and you can find me at Food Awakenings on Twitter.
Great. So we're really excited to have everybody, and beginning with our first podcast, whether you're checking in for the first time or you're catching up after a couple, there will always be those questions that we're asking, and we look forward to bringing you some really awesome guests that, quite honestly, is even a bit self-serving. I'm so excited to be interviewing these people and to interview them with you. So let's do this. I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you for that, Ashley and Robin. Be sure to tune in next time for their podcast on Food Simplified. Once again, I'd like to thank the sponsors, Nature's Path and Manitoba Harvest. Until next time, thanks for tuning in. Bye, guys.